want to read a portion from Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 is probably one of the most concise of all the Gospels that speaks of what we're about here with regard to the Lord's table and the events leading up to it. And it says in Mark 14 that, verse 12, the first day of unleavened bread, the week of the Passover was to be celebrated with unleavened bread. That's what we hold in our hand here. Some unleavened bread is like this, it's hard and baked. Some is softer, but it is unleavened. In other words, as a type of Christ in his body, his perfection, the body that was prepared for him was without sin. That's really why unleavened bread. But it was the week of the killing of the Passover. So both go together. That's what we have here represented in the wine, represents the blood of Christ that was shed. But again, the way to the cross began with these types in the Old Testament, the unleavened bread and the Passover. And the Lord celebrated these because they were to be followed until such time as he actually laid down his life. And now, here in Mark 14, we're down to the final Passover that should ever have been celebrated. From before time, this was ordained, and then you think of in creation, the very first innocent animals that were slain in the garden, and the blood shed. The Bible's a bloody book, but it points to the one bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took all of those sacrifices, millions of them, down through the centuries, to represent the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because none of that could actually put away sin. It was a type of the death of Christ. But here, his disciples said unto him in verse 12 of Mark 14, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Deferring to Christ, which is what sheep do. Where is it the shepherd would have us go that we might celebrate? And so he sent forth two of his disciples, verse 13, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. That was unusual in that day because typically women carried the water, but here would be a man. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house. So this was not just any house. When it says the good man of the house, wherever you see good in Scripture, put God, man. This was one who was God's man. I truly believe a follower of Christ already. Because it says there, the master saith. He would have understood when he said the master. That's who the Lord Jesus is. He came in the flesh, but he's the master. He's the ruler. Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, and I like this next word, furnished and prepared. That's what it's all about. Even as we partake here of the Lord's table, it's been furnished and prepared as a type and picture of Christ. We're not trying to modify it or contemporize it and make it little more flashy than what it is. You sit here and you look at the bread and you look at the cup and you say, this is it? Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what God purposed. Furnished and prepared. And he says, there, make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and guess what? Found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. You may not know how the Lord's leading, but I'll tell you this. You're going to find it to be exactly as he has directed, exactly as he's purposed. And in the evening cometh the 12. Even Judas was in the beginning with them coming to eat the Passover. Just like so many Jews in the Old Testament, they ate the Passover without it being mixed with faith. But when it comes to the Lord's table, that's reserved only for those that the Lord Jesus Christ has bought and in whom he has revealed himself. I don't try to police the table. I have people ask me all the time, well, how do you know when you're passing the cup or the bread, who's partaking, who isn't? That's not my business. It's what the Lord's table. You hear that? Not Ken's table. It's not Shreveport Grace Church table. It's the Lord's table. But it is for the Lord's sheep. Those that he has revealed himself in, paid their debt. The Father chose from before the foundation of the world and now drawn together in him. Eating in the scriptures, when you sit down to eat somebody with someone, you don't eat with your enemies. You eat with friends. You eat with those that are of like mind. And so we're going to see that here. Judas, even though he was part of the Passover meal in the beginning, when the Lord told the disciples that one of them would betray him and dip that bread in the sop and eat it, that was when it was revealed that it was Judas. But even then, the disciples didn't know he was the betrayer. That just shows how subtle it was. The Lord knew him to be the son of perdition, but the others didn't. You can judge people from the outside, never know. But he was the son of perdition all along. And so when he had dipped the bread in the sop, and I'm kind of quoting from some of the other gospels here, you can look this up for yourself. He got up and left. The Lord told him, whatever you're going to do, go and do quickly. And the disciples were so ignorant, they thought, since it's the Passover, he was the treasurer. Judas was the treasurer. That he went out to pay alms to the poor. They thought that's why he was going out, but the Lord knew he was going out to betray him. He was not to be part of this table, nor any betrayers. If any are betrayers that think that they can partake of this table, the scriptures say, Paul says a little later on in 1 Corinthians 11, that the Lord brings his judgment. He'll protect his honor. We don't need to have to worry about it. But here in Mark 14, in verse 18, and they sat and did eat. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? The way that's written in the Greek is, it's not me, is it, Lord? It caused some concern. And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And there's a little pause there, and that's where you can go over reading John. That was when he got up and left. Now, the institution of what we're doing right here, as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. So this is what we're cognizant of whenever we have this unleavened bread in our hands. This is a representation of Christ's body. It doesn't actually become his body. When he says, this is my body, it's like you pull out a picture of yourself and show it to somebody and say, see, that's me. Well, no, you're here. That's a picture, but you get the picture. And that's what he did. And then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. They all that were of his true disciples, the other being removed. And he said unto them, this is my blood in the New Testament. When it says New Testament, newly fulfilled, newly revealed. It's not that it had not been already foreordained, but this was that hour, which is said for many. And in the Greek, it's the many. There are the many for whom Christ shed his blood. And they are those that the Father gave to his Son, for whom he came. And he said, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now, are we still waiting for that to happen? No. The kingdom of God was revealed and fully established when Christ rose from the grave. and ascended on high. Read in Acts 2, where he's seated there in the heavenlies and reigning and ruling. So when it says, until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God, Christ actually had 40 days after his resurrection in which he went around revealing himself to his disciples, to those that had known him and that had seen him crucified, and now he was revealing himself in them. Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 15 at one point to 500 at one time, because that's who his work was for. And he ate and drank with them. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus, that they walked with him and didn't recognize him? When they got to their house, they sat down, and the way he broke the bread and thanked the Lord, their eyes were open. And then he parted. He left. I want us to think about that as we partake. This is not just taking bread and putting it in our mouth, drinking this cup, saying, okay, that was good. Who does it represent? Our eyes open every time we think and read about how he took this bread and drank it. Thank the Father. I believe that even now, he's in the midst of his church. He's with his people. And so even as we partake, it's to his honor and glory. He said, and that's why he said, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine. This was to be the last Passover meal until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Well, when he drank it new in the kingdom of God, it was the new covenant. It was this table that he's left us. It says when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So we're going to thank the Lord. We're going to sing a hymn, and then we'll enjoy a meal together. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, how simple, plain it is. I pray that you would teach us just to slow down and read this word with reverence and to consider who is the author and to consider how every scripture points to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from beginning to end. I thank you for these elements. Thank you that in partaking we remember him who came and shed his blood that you might be the just God and Savior. And we're mindful to give you all the praise and honor and glory in his precious name. Amen.